He served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, and you have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So give us a call, why don't you, at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. And if that's hard to remember, which I know it is, just call 888-GO-DAVID. See, you don't want the letters on the telephone. If you don't mind, go David. It's the same thing as 888-463-2843. It's all same. Marketing brilliance on display. Let's see. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, business law. So if you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, about trusts, about probate, powers of attorney, advanced directives, living wills, dead wills, any of that stuff, now's the time to call. The number that you were writing down, you know, 2 seconds ago. Also, if you're wondering about nursing home care, how do we make sure that mom and dad don't go broke? How do we make sure we don't go broke if one or the other of us, if our loved ones need the long-term care? And how do you get the right level? We've just had a couple of cases. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that in just a minute. I get sidetracked. Well, also, real estate, if you're looking at buying or selling a home, if you want to start a business, stop a business, keep that hula hoop swinging, just give us a call at 888-463-2843. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, and extending an invitation to one of our free life plan workshops. These are the workshops we do not every week, twice a week. That's true. Two times a week we do these. We do the life plan workshops, try to make them convenient for you. Because this stuff is too important to do every couple of months. You know what I'm saying? When the situation rises in your family situation, you know, when something happens, when you finally get the idea, jeepers, maybe we should do something. Well, we make it easy for you by doing the life plan workshops all of the time. My 888-463-2843. Website, davidcarrierlaw.com. Email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Those are all the easy ways we can sign up. You can sign up for one of the... I got to be there anyway. I don't even have to sign up for them. But that's how you can sign up for one of the Life Plan workshops. We started dealing with this email last in the first hour of the show. I just want to get back to it because I think it points up a real... a very significant issue. Let me just hit you with the email first. Mom, Lady Bird deeds Michigan house to children in 2014. That's next year, right? Joint tenants with rights of survivorship. That's significant because next year, starting December 31st at 12:01 a.m., December 31st, we have a new law that says that when you transfer property to relatives of the first degree, meaning kids, you know, close relatives, that's not a transfer. All right? Transferring property to relatives of the first degree is not a transfer. Okay. Now, why would you say something as silly as that? Well, you'd say something as silly as that because when you transfer property, you uncap the property taxes. What that means is that if you have property that has increased in value since 96, and thank you for one of our... I had said 97 or 98, and it was 96 was the year. Or maybe it was 94. Where's my listeners when you need them? Anyway, way back when, we changed the rules and we said, okay, we're not going to tax you on the value of your property this year. We're going to tax you on the value of your property back when you took the principal residence exemption. Okay, this is only for your principal residence. And we're going to tax you on the value of that plus 2 or 3% or inflation, whichever is less. Now, if you have lakefront property, I don't need to tell you that that has skyrocketed, farmland skyrocketed. An awful lot of property has gone down in value, but still, You know, there's bright spots in every cloudy sky. And, you know, there is real estate that has increased significantly in value over the last 20 years. And if you've got that, you face the very real possibility of your kids not even, forget about buying the thing. Forget about buying the family cottage, farm, whatever. The kids can't even pay the taxes on it because the taxes would be so high if they were adjusted to current rates. Okay, you'd have been taxed off the land years ago. Okay, you'd have been taxed off it because you couldn't afford the annual property taxes, so you'd have to sell. But now because of the way we do we uncap it only at transfer, now you're paying rate of tax based on what it was worth 20 years ago, not today. With the Now, the Supreme Court said that if you put all your kids on the deed as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, the fact that the parents have died is not a transfer. It does not uncap the property. So, of course, we had a mad rush of people putting their kids on the deed, which makes me want to bang my head against the wall, but there you go. That's how I had fun. Anyway, so people rushed out to do this. And then the legislature last year changed the rules. What they said was, if you transfer it to one of your kids, right, or a whole bunch of your kids, then it's not a transfer at all. Okay? So now the rule has been, we had one rule, now we had another rule, now we got a third rule. Anyway, now, and this is the point of this email, Ladybird Deeds means transfer on death deeds, house to children, in 2014, joint tenants with rights to survivorship. Now, the suggestion here is that we're kind of mishmashing the Closter decision, which was a Supreme Court decision, which said that joint tenants with rights to survivorship did not uncap the property, with the Lady Bird deed, which is a transfer on death, and we're transferring it on death after 2014. And then they said, well, okay, so mom dies. Now we have the property. We're all joint tenants with rights to survivorship. If we all joint tenants with rights of survivorship, Lady Bird deed it to our kids, will the property taxes uncap? Okay? Well, you know, this is a law school question. We don't have any, we have zero experience with how this rule, this new law, is going to be interpreted. Okay? And it says, I know it will work with tenants in common. Well, how the heck do you know that? But we like the idea of our kids not getting the cottage till the last of us die. Okay, I get that. That I understand. We also like the security of not risking a future creditor or sibling partition of the property. I understand that, too. Okay, so these are two good ideas. Number one, the kids, the grandchildren, grandma's house, going to the kids, going to the grandkids. The kids don't want their kids to get the house until the last of the parents die. They want to maintain control. Understood. Makes a lot of sense, right? Mom probably wants to control the house, too, which is why she's doing the Lady Bird deed. So mom wants to be the boss of her cottage until she dies. She wants to be able to change her mind. And then the kids get it as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, which is totally ridiculous and bad and for all kinds of things we'll go into. Don't want to do it that way, I don't think. But anyway, I understand the kids want to be in control, want to be the boss of the property before they pass it on to their own kids. It makes perfect sense. And we don't want a future creditor to partition the property. Understood. How would the new Michigan law treat a joint tenant signed by all parents? We don't know because we don't have it yet. I don't think that would be a transfer. I think you would avoid the uncapping. After the last parent dies, will the property taxes uncap? I don't think so because it's all transfers to relatives of the first degree. I know that we parents could nullify or change the Lady Bird deed. Yeah, you could if you all agreed. How likely is that? When was the last thing you all agreed on, right? This is certainly in the spirit of the new legislation. Do you think it would work? Those are two different questions. Okay. Will it avoid the uncapping? Yeah, I think it would. Will it work? Do you think it would work? Snowball's chance in Hades. Okay. And when we get back from the break, I'll go into exactly why I think in a situation like this, there are very good solutions. You can accomplish all these goals. All right. But you got to do it in a way. Well, number one, you got to say what your goals are. Well, when we get back, we'll go into that a little more in depth. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Oh, the weather outside. outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for Papa.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show, which does not show signs of stopping. We've only been at it for about 10 years now. Let it snow. That's right. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. As it doesn't snow. Okay, what were we talking about? Here's the problem that you get into frequently with this whole estate planning thing. And these people, right, the mom has a cottage, and she wants to get it to her kids who want to be in control of it, who want, and then when the last of them dies, they want their kids to get it. Understood. I get all that. Also, they want to avoid paying higher taxes on the property. They want to avoid the uncapping. Okay? I understand that, too. I get it all. But this is one of those situations where you're being too clever by half. It's like some of the things that people do routinely. They put kids on deeds. They do beneficiary designations. All these things without saying what you mean. Okay? Now, we do a lot of cottage trusts, farm trusts, hunting property trusts, all this kind of stuff. And the thing is, there's no – see, when you put – so mom has a cottage. She wants her kids to get it. The kids don't want their kids to get it until they all die. But in the meantime, they all want to be able to use it, okay? And then they want to get it to the kids. So what they're thinking of is doing a series of joint tenants with rights of survivorship deeds to their kids, right? Well, when you do joint tenants with rights of survivorship, okay, and now remember, I see everything through the lens of the nursing home because so many people go and it's so expensive, and for most people, long-term care, skilled nursing care, is a financially ruinous event, okay? Your spouse goes in the nursing home, boom, there go your life savings. I mean, that is just the reality of it, okay? And I don't care what nursing home you go to, the vast majority of people in there are on the Medicaid. You know what that means? It means they're broke. Okay? Did they have to be broke? No. No. They didn't have to be, but they are. Okay? Because they do what everybody does, and now they're broke. So you got to look at everything. This is my perspective on it. This is my opinion. Like I would have somebody else's. My perspective on this whole estate planning thing is I'm not worried about the kids. I'm not even worried about the grandkids. I'm not worried about the kids. I'm worried about mom. Mom does this ladybird deed, and for Medicaid purposes, it has no effect. Zero effect. Well, that's great, isn't it? Well, except that you want the house to go to the kids, right? So maybe you should do something to make sure that the house actually does go to the kids. Michigan, and they're talking about this new law that got passed. So somebody's been reading. All right, that's good. That's fantastic. Somebody's been reading. That's good. But what they didn't read, apparently, was that we are, a flea's eyelash away from having Medicaid mortgages in the state. Meaning, when you apply for the Medicaid, they put a Medicaid mortgage on you. They put a lien on your house. Joint tenants with rights of survival, ladybird deeds, do not defeat the Medicaid mortgage. Okay? So now you're all very smart, and you did all this stuff, right? And you thought it all the way through, you think, and you ignored the gorilla in the room, okay? Mom is not going to be financially ruined by probate. Mom will be dead at that point, okay? You know, probate is something the kids got to worry about. So it's not a probate thing. And mom is not going to be paying these higher taxes and all the rest of it, okay? These are not the threats to mom. The threat to mom is the nursing home. Okay. Oh, we'll always take care of mom. Right. Pull the other one. Okay. You know, maybe. And I'm, my family situation is one where we did that. And I say we. It wasn't me. I'm out of state. But it was my sisters, my dad, my brothers, who were, very much about keeping mom at home. Because why? Because that's what she wanted. That's what she and Dad had promised each other. This is the way it's going to be. No nursing home, no nursing home, no nursing home. Until it got to the point where it was like, hey, this decision should have been made 6 months ago. because mom's not getting the care she needs, all those reasons, okay? So don't tell me that, oh, you know, I'm going to live here forever and, you know, maybe. I'll say maybe, but I won't say definitely because I've just seen it go the other way too often. So when that happens, the Medicaid mortgage, the Medicaid lien, which we don't have yet, which most other states do, like 48 other states do have these Medicaid liens, attaches. So what happened to your joint tenants with rights to survivorship? What was so, you know, what happened to your Lady Bird deed? Okay, now you got to pay back the Medicaid. You know, if that was mom's homestead, what if it isn't? What if mom has a house and this is a and this is the cottage? Then what? Well, then we've got to sell the cottage. Where did your Lady Bird deed help you there? The answer is it doesn't help you there. Okay, you got to deal with it. So what I'm saying is, and I'm not offering any solutions right now, okay? That's not the point. What I'm trying to say is when you do these joint tenants with rights, when you do the Lady Bird deeds, when you do all these things that seem like such great ideas, okay, what you're doing is you're looking at a little piece of the, you know, you're looking at a little piece of the puzzle. And there's so much more going on. You remember the story about, you know, you blindfold six guys, and you put them in a room with an elephant. And each person gets a different part of the elephant. And the guy who gets the elephant's leg says, an elephant is like a tree. And the guy who gets the ear says, an elephant is like a palm frond, and you know, a palm leaf. And you get the guy who gets the tail, an elephant is like a broom, you know. Everyone gets it, an elephant is like a wall. Okay, because you each got a different part of it. You got to put the whole thing together to figure out what's going on. And these joint tenants with rights of survivorship that people do, I understand why you do it. I get the goal, the good goals, important goals, things that should happen, things that can happen, but things are extremely unlikely to happen if you do it this way. Because when you have joint tenants with rights of survivorship, you have no right to cash in your share of the cottage, for example. You have no right to do that, okay? Guess what? Medicaid doesn't care that you have no right to do it. They treat it as if you had that many dollars. Let's say we've got a $200,000 cottage, four kids on it, four kids, $50,000 each. According to the Department of Human Services, each one of those kids has the equivalent of $50,000 in the bank. Now, how does that make any sense? I don't think it does, but it doesn't matter that I don't think it makes any sense. That's the rule. That's what we have to live with. And if you ignore that, now what you're saying is, okay, then brother or sister, if they need long-term care, they're not getting it. Now, for mom, mom's okay, right, until they put the Medicaid liens on, and now the house, now the cottage is gone. We don't have to worry about it. My point is that, and then you want it to get to the kids. Well, let's put some rules around that. Let's put some standards around it. Let's talk it out, okay? And, you know, I'm not such a big fan of talking it out while mom's still alive, but, you know, but it can be done if this is mom's idea and we want to go multi-generational on a cottage, farmland, hunting land, then we have to have that discussion. And at that point, I flip from don't talk about it with the kids to get in depth with it with the kids so that everybody understands what's going on into the future. Are you with me on that? You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Through the snow in my rusty shed.
And welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. You have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So give us a call at 888-463-2843. If you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, trusts, probate, powers of attorney, all that good stuff, guardianship, conservatorship. If you're wondering how to beat the high cost of long-term care, what is that Medicaid stuff all about? Don't we have to be poor? Is there anything we can do to plan ahead? Well, now's the time to give us a shout, 888 563-2843. We also deal with real estate and business law. So if you've got a question, comment, or concern about buying or selling a home, about keeping your business going, about stopping it in its tracks, or maybe starting one. You know, I keep being told that the economy's coming back. Hardy har har, maybe. But, you know, an awful lot of folks are doing it on their own now, which is all to the good, in my opinion. So if you have a question about that, great. Give us a shout, and we'll see if we can get it answered for you. How about that? Going to some of our emails here. This is one that comes up pretty frequently, and it's a well, I'll just go for it. After the death of the trustees, both parents, will the lender of the loan require the beneficiary to acquire a new loan? The beneficiary of the living trust does not have the income nor the credit to refinance the loan after the death of her parents. Will the lender insist the beneficiary refinance the loan since both of the trustees, who are the original borrowers, are dead? Can the mortgage remain as is as long as it is part of the living trust? Well, here's the deal. Was it Garmin? Saint Germain? Anyway, there was a happened a long time ago. They used to, with these due on sale clauses. Okay, if you you cannot, every mortgage nowadays has a due on sale clause, which means that if you sell the property, the mortgage is due. This is because when we had a huge run up in interest rates back in the 80s, Saint Germain. Depository Institutions Act, whatever the heck it was. Anyway, the point is that back in the 80s, when there was this huge run-up in interest rates, the prior practice... See, what used to happen was, if you sold your home, you could sell it subject to the mortgage so that the person who bought your house could assume the mortgage. Now, this is ancient history. I mean, it sounds crazy, right? But it used to happen all the time because for the longest time, interest rates were very stable. You know, the home mortgage rates were fairly stable until the big run-up of in the 70s when we had the big run-up in real estate prices, and then in the 80s followed by the big run-up in interest rates up into the 20s. You know, people were paying 20%, if you can believe it, on a for a mortgage at the peak there. 20% a year in order to get a home mortgage. Well, anyway, so if you were the bank, and you were getting paid at a 5% rate of interest, well, in the old days, it didn't matter because you weren't going to get more than 5% anyway. You know, it was always the same, pretty much. But then it went up to 20%, and they're like, oh, wait a second. We don't want to be getting 5% on our money when we should be, or we could be getting 15 or 20%. So they started putting in these due-on-sale clauses into the mortgages, which said that if you sell the property, then you got to pay off the mortgage. It didn't used to be that way. Well, one of the exceptions, there are a number of them, but one of the most important exceptions is if someone dies, then they cannot enforce the due-on-sale clause. Okay? So we don't, because why? Because in the estate administration, so long as you're paying the bill, so long as you're paying the mortgage, right? The promissory note that and the mortgage secures that secures the house. So long as you're making those payments, right? The idea was the bank shouldn't be in there foreclosing. The bank shouldn't be calling the loan. So in a situation like this, will the bank call? You know, the parents have both died. The beneficiary is not able to get a mortgage on her own. You know, if she went out for a new mortgage and never get it, but that's okay because the law says that you can keep it going so long as you make the payments. What if you don't make the payments? Well, too bad, so sad, right? And it's not because it's part of the living trust, all right? It's because a lender cannot enforce a due on sale clause because of the death of the borrower. Okay, the fact that the person died does not call the loan. That's not a event for the due on sale clause. So there you go. Don't worry about it. You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Call us, why don't you? 888-463-2843, and we'll get you on the air. What happens to a person who takes advantage of the elderly that is not mentally stable? If you're a family member that was appointed power of attorney, of a couple. He passes away. Wife keeps same power of attorney. Stayed for 2 weeks to get things safe and secure, and her left to come home for our medical appointments was getting sick. So I guess what happens is that this person is being is the attorney in fact for a couple. The husband dies, and he goes or she goes to stay with the surviving spouse for a couple of weeks, but then they're getting sick and all the rest. For her own medical appointments, she came back, was getting sick. Home 3 days, and then, after being home for 3 days, were accused of stealing from the widow. And she changed the power of attorney, which we feel she was taking advantage of. She can easily be influenced. Well, here's the thing. The, you know, no indication here who is doing the influencing, right? Easily be influenced. So it's not at all unusual, unfortunately. It's not at all unusual. The kids are gone, and it's the neighbors and the friends who are taking care of the person, okay? And then somebody dies, situation changes. The kids show up, and then they decide that the neighbors are really, you know, nefarious exploiters. And that's sort of what it sounds like is going on here. So we've got some friends who are taking care of their friends. One dies, they go out there, spend a couple of weeks, then they come home 3 days later, they're being accused of, you know, financial badness, you know, stealing or what have you, changing the power of attorney, even though for the last, what did we say, 10 years or something like that, they were, you know, they were, for a long time, they were the power of attorney. Just says for years. Anyway, the point is, not much you can do in a situation like, you know, you're accused of it, obviously you have to defend yourself. So if you're going to be the Good Samaritan, you got to keep good books and records, because if you don't, you leave yourself open to charges like this. So if you kept good books and records, right, you spent, you did everything according to Hoyle, then there isn't going to be an issue. There isn't going to be a problem. Now, the family members may persuade your friend to appoint one of them as the attorney in fact, as the trustee, and all the rest of this. You know, and that's really kind of a too bad, so sad situation. But if you think now that the kids are exploiting their parent, Adult Protective Services is the right way to go on that. You're listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
It's all cold down along the beach. Wind's whipping down the water.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start you.
Beautiful, what's your
and father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better
beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink.
Put more. Some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in
no cabs to be had out there.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I like this song, you know, but as a father of a daughter in that one line, what's in this drink? It's like, well, okay. Well, you gotta understand it was Dean Martin, and that was back in the 60s, so there you go. I guess time wounds all heals. Anyway, you're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier. Just think about it. When it's Christmas season is gone, will we have this kind of music that, no. You know, there's no Valentine's music, is there? Right? I mean, New Year's Day music, is there any? No. I mean, we gotta go with the Christmas music while we can. That's what I say. Anyway, you're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, inviting you to a free life plan. Now, I know we've only got a few more shopping days till Christmas, right? I know it's getting down to the wire. I know it's, you know, really, really tough. So, here's what we're gonna do. If you email us, right? If you email David at davidcarrierlaw.com, right, email me today. Yeah, today, right now. Go ahead, email me. Because, you know, you're trying to find something for that hard-to-find person, that hard-to-find keepers. What will we get them for Christmas? I tell you, I just don't know. But if you email, you know, right now, we will send a personal invitation to a free life plan workshop. You know, and Do they deliver on Christmas? I don't think they deliver on Christmas. But anyway, you can, and it will be a handwritten invitation. How about that? Your very own personal invitation to a free life plan workshop. For that person who's hard to buy for, you know what I mean? The person who already has everything. For the person who has everything, well, do they have a free handwritten invitation to a life plan workshop? I bet you they don't. So, well, you can do it by emailing me, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. And these are really not, you know, we have very nice notepaper there embossed and everything else. And I'm not, I am not kidding here. This is on the level. If you, all right, I get myself in trouble by thinking of things while I'm on the air and then saying them. But anyway, so here's the deal I'll make with you. If you request, you can go to the website, you can write on the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, you can write there. That's no problem. Or you can email me, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Either way, I'm not answering the phone today. Forget about it. But the emails, that'd be fine. And you just give me the address of the person whom, to whom you wish us to extend an invitation, personal invitation, to the Life Plan Workshop. We'll do it for you. How about that for above and beyond the call, huh? See? And then that way, with the ice storm and everything else, you don't even have to go out to the mall. Benefits all over the place, right? So go ahead, email me, whatever, somebody who needs a personal invitation, include your name, because we'd like to say who it's from. And it's almost as good as discussing healthcare insurance in your jammies, you know? It's even better than that, because we won't look at you quizzically. Anyway, if that's what you want to do, that'd be wonderful. Otherwise, you can sign up for a free life plan workshop just by going to the website, see when the dates are. We got millions of dates. Just be there. No problem. Let's get to some of our other emails if we, as we're winding up here. How to get a trustee to distribute the property to a beneficiary. Trust was written using the power of attorney in 1995, which is really kind of irrelevant. Property was in New York City. Not that that matters. I can only afford to pay an attorney $2 because I'm retired. My income is very low. $2? We'll do it for $2. Anyway, trustee is taking too long to distribute the property. It's affecting my lifestyle. I have no electricity. And boy, if you're in New York and you have no electricity, that's a bad thing. Not only can I get a new roof, I also want to get some electricity. I talked to bar associations. They wanted money. I could not afford, thus I could not find a lawyer to help. Well, here's the thing. If there is actually money in the trust, all right, and you are the trust beneficiary, not everybody, but there are attorneys out there, me included, who in a situation like this, you know, once you know what's going on, would be willing to take it on a contingency. Would be willing, look, you know, whether it's a percentage or by the hour or whatever, if there's property out there from which the attorney has some reasonable expectation of getting paid, you know, we don't want to see you not get what you're entitled to simply because right now you can't afford it. So that's the, you know, so that's the thing. I mean, I think it's possible to find representation in a case like that. We've got Dave on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Welcome to the David Carrier Show. How can I help?
My question is, my mother was at a nursing home paying about $3,500, and then had a fall and had to have a little more care, and it jumped almost double to $7,000.
Right.
But then all of a sudden the money, I thought I had, you know, I was taking care of things very carefully, and I thought I had it planned out where the money would last at least for her lifetime. But, that looks like that's impossible now with the $7,000 a month that she's paying out. She just losing very quickly. And you said something about being able to protect a little bit of the money, or is that only when there's the spouse, when they're still married? My father passed away about 19 years ago from stomach cancer.
Okay. Well, right now, if we have a married couple, we can say pretty much everything for the at-home spouse. Pretty much everything. If we have competent spouses, if we have powers, the correct powers of attorney, this and that, okay? That's the married couple thing. For your mom, you basically have three options. You can save zero, which is the typical. I mean, what usually happens, 90% of the time, people spend themselves into zero. And then it's pretty easy to get qualified for the Medicaid. The other two options are you can save about half of the cash. Is mom competent at this point?
Unfortunately, no. I have power of attorney. She's been because she has dementia. She's
okay. I'm getting the sign here. I've got 2 minutes. So let me call us to the office. You got the number. Hit number one, and you'll talk to a live person during the week. Okay.
Okay.
Well, but here's basically you can save zero. You can save half. You can save more than half. It just depends on which route you want to go. The situation you find yourself in is not at all unusual. We have someone who's in an assisted living situation, maybe independent living. It's a lot of money, $3,000 a month, but it won't break you. What breaks people is when you go into you have the slip and fall, the broken hip, the pelvis, the ankle, whatever it is.
Right.
Then you do the rehab. You get your 100 days of rehab or however many. Now you're into the skilled nursing at $300 a day. $7,631 is what the state of Michigan says it costs. $7,000 is pretty good. If it's only $7,000 a month, and it's going to go up. I mean, come January, the state will give us a new number for what the average cost is. But Dave, what I would say is just give us a shout at the office. There are things that should be done. With any of this stuff, the sooner the better. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
My wife says to me, let's not drive the old coupe. Hitch up once again, the one-horse open sleigh. The horse was awful mad, if he could talk he'd say, you'll be sorry you hitched me to a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells.